Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
It's good to be in church. It's really, really good. And it's an absolute pleasure for me to be able to speak to you here from this platform. And firstly, I just wanted to acknowledge the privilege that it is and the great pastors, Pastor Hal, in front of me. It's a great honour to be able to preach in front of you and for you to be here today. It is just brilliant. And Pastor Graham as well. And, you know, history and wisdom are quite amazing things that God has put us around us here. And I believe that if we catch the spirit behind the preaching and behind the teaching that's happening at the moment, it will allow us to and mould us to be the people that God wants us to be and to be able to be used in the way that God wants us to be used. So keep pushing on. Keep dreaming big, church, for what he's got for you. Don't be discouraged. If God's put a dream or a vision in your heart, don't lose hope. Because he who has started that good work is faithful to complete it, to finish it in you. Let's remember that. Let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you that we can come together as a church. We thank you that we can meet here, that we can join together in giving you praise and giving you glory, Lord God, for how amazing you are in our lives. Lord, I just pray that this message that I speak today, this word that we hear, Lord, it just touches our hearts. And it makes a difference to us, Lord God, because we want to come here. We don't want to come here just to have fun and just to meet people, Lord God. We want to come here to be changed so that we may go out and change the world and our worlds around us. So, Lord God, have your way in this meeting, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I think I've met a lot of people in this church, but I don't think I've met anyone. And I want to introduce myself. My name is Andy. And in case you're wondering, yes, I have a beard. I do. And a beard has been a fun thing to have over the last couple of months. And when you decide to grow something on your face, it's quite amazing because a lot of people feel free to come and tell you what they think of that thing on your face. And I have experienced that. And it's great. I love it. If you haven't told me, come and tell me what you think of the beard. That's fine. But some people come up and they say, oh, man, I really love that. I love the beard. Just keep going, keep growing that thing. And I get some people that come up to me and say, man, that beard works about as well as a snowblower in summer. Like, it's just perfect. As in, it doesn't work at all. Shave it off straight away. And I hear a few amens, amens. Shave it off. But, you know, thank you. Yes, thank you. But there is only one opinion that really matters. And that's my wife's. That's the one that really matters in this case right here. So I just wanted to start by sharing a little bit about my journey and growing up in this church. And we've heard some great testimonies from people on this stage and over the years of people who have had a rocky life or have walked away from God at maybe one point in their life. And we hear amazing stories of that restoration and how God comes and meets them and touches them where they're at. My story is just a little bit different to that, though. You see, I was virtually born in this church, born right in the church. Like, almost, I suppose, almost. And my parents, Rich and Deborah, who are down here, they attended this church and they were the worship leaders here. So, hence, you see what I do up here. And as a young fella, you'd find my brother and I, we'd come to church and we'd be here every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. And we were the ones that you'd see over the side of the church flipping the overheads. We were the overhead projectionists and we loved it. And we were good at it. We were good at it. You know, you weren't getting shout to the Lord upside down or back to the front. Ancient of Days, that wasn't around the wrong way either. It was all good. We'd just get it right and it'd be just like that quick slip and you wouldn't miss anything. But we didn't miss church. We came and we were a family and we came every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and we'd sit on the floor playing with our toys and, you know, it wasn't just like these days and you could throw us an iPad and we'd be right for a couple of hours. We had these little sticks and they had like, I think, lead or something in them. I think, yeah, pencils. We had pencils. I don't know if kids use them these days, but we had those and bits of paper as well, which we could write on, which was really cool. It was really fun. So naturally being in this environment, being in church all the time, we started with my parents up here leading worship. We started playing instruments. My dad being a guitar teacher, we played the guitar and we played different things. And My brother learnt the piano. He chose that instrument, and I chose the instrument that is the nightmare of every parent and every neighbour around you, the drums. That was my instrument that I played. And the drums were awesome. We had our own our little Hunt family band that we used to take around with Dad playing the guitar and Mum singing and Joth over there on the piano and me playing drums. And so we'd, you know, come and we'd play at church and it was great. And we'd move around and we'd do some, maybe play at different churches. Mum and Dad were leading at some different churches and we'd go and pop-up band, instant band. It was lovely. I think I started playing probably drums when I was about 13 or 14 in church. About year 7 or 8. And at that time, I was just happy to be serving in church. I didn't have anything in my mind that I wanted to, I want to eventually lead worship like my mum and dad. I'd never sung back then. And I was just like, oh man, I'm just happy. I'm just happy to be serving in church and doing what God wants me to do here. I'd wake up on a Sunday morning, my mum and dad would say, Andrew, you're on drums this morning. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll get ready and get there and play the songs. And it was all great. That time that I spent playing and being involved obviously has a lot to do with what I'm doing today. I just started playing the guitar and I was sort of forced into to singing at some point when our regular leader wasn't around. And it was the first time I did it. By the grace of God, it sounded okay and I did all right. So it wasn't something, as I said, that I had a goal to do, or it wasn't something that I thought I would ever do, but it was just about me being obedient and God opening the doors and me just taking one step through it. And I think we can complicate that so much sometimes. God, open the door, and do I put this foot forward or do I put that one forward? But it's about God opening the door and just taking a step forward into that door, and it can be complicated so much. So I did my schooling here at Oxley as well. When it came to choose the course I wanted to do at uni, I really didn't have much of an idea of what I wanted to do. At the time, I was serving in our kids' ministry here as well on a Friday night, and I found real fulfillment in that. I loved what I was doing. I loved serving kids and just being around them. And there were many people who said to me over the years, oh man, you'd make such a good primary school teacher. You love working with kids. You'd make a really good primary school teacher. And I thought, yeah, I would. Come on. Absolutely I would. So I thought, well, that sounds like a good thing to do. Maybe I'll go for primary school teaching as my uni course. And I did. And I got into Deakin at Geelong. So that was nice. Nice and close to Chirnside. So I ended up driving down to Geelong a couple of days a week, which was nice. It was a nice drive and it's a beautiful place down there. And there's the beach close. So that was great. So in between going to school and uni, I deferred for a year. I did what a lot of young adults do, and we'll defer and we'll take a year off schooling because I thought, man, I've been going to school for 12 years and I just need a break. I look back at that now and say, come on, man, you had the easiest years of your life back then up to year 12. That wasn't really hard. But it's funny how we think that. And so I look back on that that time and just think, wow, thank you, God, for leading and guiding me every single step that I was taking. Every single thing that I did, it wasn't a waste of time. And I'll get onto why I thought that a little bit in a second. So when I had that year off schooling, I decided I'll work full time. I wanted to travel with one of my mates, and so we did that. And I worked down here at Woolworths in Chirnside. And I started there when I was 15. And let me tell you, it's fantastic when you get to 25 and you have long service leave. It's really, really great. And I did. So I started when I was 15 and I was working part-time. And that year off, I decided I'm just going to work a bit and I want to earn some money. I want to get a car and do whatever else I need to do. And so I'll work there. And so I did. Luckily, I was able to move into a full-time position down there straight away. And it was really great. The next year, after I worked that year, I did do primary school teaching. I went to uni and I did 1 year of primary school teaching. And I got my degree after 1 year because, I didn't. You guys are thinking, what? What uni is that? No, I did. I only did it for 1 year. And while I was enjoying the course, I really felt that it wasn't something that I could do as a career. And I remember saying to my parents about halfway through the year, I remember saying, God, I remember, Mum, Dad. God sometimes, Mum, Dad. I wish I could have two lives and I wish I could, you know, do my primary school teaching and do my course and be a primary school teacher. But on the other side, I wish I could just work for Safeway and move my way up in the ranks and get into management there. And it was just a true thing coming out of my mouth. I love doing both and I wish I could do both. But about halfway through that year, I really felt God instruct me and say, this primary school teaching, while it's good and while it seems like it's exactly the right path for you, I've got something else for you, which was involved in Woolworths. And so I took that opportunity, and halfway through that year, I decided at the end of this year, I'm going to pull out of uni and I'm going to go and work for Woolworths. And, you know, that sort of seemed like a strange decision to a lot of people. Why would I want to give up teaching to effectively stack shelves for the rest of my life, which is not what it is at all. But it was a really, it was a big decision. It was a big decision to change my career path at that stage. But I did. So I worked on that, and about halfway through I did. And the next year I finished off my course, and I was lucky enough to move straight into a 2IC position in the department I was working in. So I loved it, and I did 13 years total at Woolworths, working my way up in management, which was great, in different stores. And since my days at Woolworths, I've been blessed to be part of the staff here at LMC for the last 3 years. So that's sort of my history a little bit up until now. And the title brings me to the title of my message today, which is called this: Be the Love. Be the Love. And that will make a lot more sense to you the further we go on, I hope. It's what we as Christians are called to do and be on this earth, I believe. Be the Love. I sit back and look at the times in my life and realize there's no coincidence that I'm walking the path that I am today, and I'm here doing what I'm doing today. Let's look at this verse in Proverbs 22:6. And Pastor Graham has gone with this over last year. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We heard Pastor Graham talk about this last year, and the scriptures in Proverbs, and how they're not promises. They're not promises of the Bible, but they are guidelines to live a fruitful and God-honoring life. This scripture is not in the Bible just to cause guilt or condemnation to anyone, but at the same time, God is not in the business of allowing empty verses to slip through into his holy word. There is truth in this verse. And I and many others in this church are living proof of that. If it were not for my parents and the habit pattern that they showed us that Sunday is church day, I'm not quite sure exactly where I would be. My brother too is in full-time ministry in a different church, and I'm not by any means saying that to pump us up, but only to alert the fact that he's stayed committed to the path that God has called him to as well, and will testify to the truth of this verse. There are a few times in my life where it would have been quite easy to stop coming to church because something else popped up. And just on that, sometimes the enemy doesn't actually tempt us into committing a sin to cause us to move away from what God has for us. Sometimes, and I think this really is in most cases, all he needs to do is distract us. All he needs to do is throw in a little something else popped up to distract us. So here are a couple of my something else's that popped up that could have taken me away from my commitment to church. Sport. I loved sport growing up. Again, in the days before video games ruled the world, I would head outside on the school holidays and play a 5-day test match just with my neighbour. Me and him, 5-day test match. It was great. The bosses are going, yes, that sounds good. Every afternoon when my dad got home from work, we'd go out and we'd kick the footy. We'd throw the footy, we'd do whatever, and we'd just play games. It was great. It got to the point where the people across the road from us were heavily involved in their footy club, and they tried for months just to get me to come down and play with the club and train and do all those sorts of things. And I would have loved that. I loved playing footy, and I would love to join a club. I wasn't aware of this at the time, but my dad would just be solid with him, with my neighbour, on the fact that, man, I'm sorry, Sunday is church day, and that's what we're committed to. So I'm sorry we can't commit to playing on Sundays. Now, I understand, as I say this, that there are people here, your kids or yourself might be playing sport and might be committed on Sundays. So hear me, this is just the way I was raised, and this is some important things that I see in my life as to where I am today and the commitment that I have to church. Work was another thing. I think sport and work are just huge things for a lot of people here. When I first made the decision to move into management in Woolworths, the roster that a 2IC did was Sunday to Thursday, Fridays and Saturdays off. This obviously presented me with a little bit of a problem because I was committed with church. I was playing drums on Sundays. As I was presented with that position, I said, look, I had a chat to my managers, and they thankfully agreed that I could do my work around my church times, my church commitments. It wasn't like I could change my days, but I could just change my hours. So I started work down there at 6 a.m. on a Sunday. I'd come to church at 9 o'clock for worship practice and stay for church, go back to work at 12 o'clock and run the rest of the day down there, finish up at 5 o'clock, and then come to church and do it again by the time, and then go home after church. It was a pretty full day. It was a really full day. But at the time, it was just something I did. It was something that I just needed to do. It was something that I needed to do to stay involved and to keep involved and to stay committed to what I was doing. Again, this isn't going to work for everyone, and the circumstances you're in may not lend itself to that. But maybe it will trigger something in your life if there is something that gets in the way on Sundays. There's one of those somethings that pops up, and maybe there is something that can change, or something that can happen to enable you to get involved in another way. Let's have a look at Hebrews and what the author is saying to us in here. In Hebrews 10, we see some explanations about changes from the old covenant to the new covenant, from before Jesus died to after he died. Then he goes on to encourage us in the knowledge that Christ's death perfects the sanctified, a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people. He's reminding us about the position we're now in with God. Then it's on to some instruction on how to live knowing what we now know. Just on a little side note at the moment, I was preparing this, and I just felt really strongly to say this part. You know, it's so important that new knowledge that we get, whether it's revelation that we get from a message up on the stage, whether it's revelation from a song that our worship team sings, or whether it's straight from God's word, it's important that that's not just stacked up in our minds like dusty books in a library. We just put that knowledge back there and it's good. It's in the library. I've got it now. But it's really important that we use that knowledge to change and transform the people that we are. And the influence that we have over people will come from that knowledge and from that changing in our own hearts and our own minds. We need to look at the way we live now compared to how we did before we knew Jesus. Are we the same? Are you the same? Are you the same in your life now than what you were before you knew Jesus? I hope your answer to that is no. And it should be because we're allowing ourselves to be affected by the love that God has for us and the knowledge that Jesus died for you. So let's look at Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And I emphasize those two last parts there, to stir up love and good works. Let's just stop there for a second. Whenever Cassie, my wife, no, it's Cass, we call her Cass. Cass, my wife, and I get the opportunity to head out for dinner, we take it. We generally take it. It's a great time. We can spend a bit of quality time together with each other. And although we love our kids very much, it's great to go out with them without them every now and then. Obviously, one of the main things that you remember when you go out for dinner is the quality of the food. Yes? Yes. Now, Thai food is one of my favorite things in the world, but maybe second to that is a good burger, a very good burger. I think they're my favorite thing to eat at the moment, and I'll remember where I have a good burger, where I get it from, and I'll probably go back there. Now, I'm going to show you a few pictures, but I need you guys to concentrate, All right, I need you to really concentrate. And once we've seen these pictures, I need you to switch back on and concentrate again for me, okay? And I know this is risky business. There's a big burger. Make sure your mouth is not watering and dripping. But that's a good-looking burger. Have a look at this one. Ooh. Is that a heart attack waiting to happen or what? Cam's going, yes. That's my burger. This one, that's another monstrosity. That's huge. I've got this one here as well. This one, I think, is a little bit more... is it boring? Someone says boring. There's not enough fat dripping off it. Is that what it is? It's too clean. And then this is my favourite place to go at the moment. And while the burger doesn't look that great, Huckster Burger. Oh, it's a good burger right there. A very good burger. So that's what I love seeing. Now, switch back on. All right. Wipe your mouth if you need to. Don't think about lunch yet. We're still preaching here. However, the next thing I remember, first thing I remember is about the food. I remember the good burger. But the second thing I remember about going out for dinner is about the service that I get. The staff that are there and how they are serving me and the attitude with which they serve me. And when you get bad service, I'm sure you'd agree, it really means your night doesn't go quite as well as maybe it could have or would have if you had. But when you get a person who actually makes you feel like it mattered that you were there with them that night, it's a pleasure to go back. And you will tell people about that place that you went. You will tell them that you had great service and that you had great food at this place. I recommend it. I want to do something nice for that person. If they've been so nice to me, they've given me great service, I want to do something nice for them. And I can't really do that, but I really want to. So in the same way, the word is instructing us to do much the same thing. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. This applies to us both in church and out of church. Think about the non-Christian friends that you have around you and how you can show love to them. And I think that we're thinking about that. Hopefully you're starting to think about that a little bit now. But also think about the Christian friends that we have. And how we can show love to them. Isn't it strange, I think, how quickly we can be offended by someone in church because they should know better. They should know better. And I'm preaching myself to myself here too, by the way. But this verse isn't discriminating. It says to consider others, anyone but ourselves. Consider anyone but ourselves. And think more about not what someone can do for me, but what I can do for someone else. We have so many great examples of this in our own church with people who tirelessly go out of their way to be others focused. And I just want to point out one amazing couple in church today. And that's John and Anne Dennehy. These guys right down here. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, John and Anne. John and Anne, in case you don't know, are here every Sunday morning to set up the tea and coffee and biscuits that we have after the service. They are such a blessing to our congregation, and that blessing, I think, is immeasurable. The conversations that are had, the relationships that are formed, all come out of the servant-heartedness of these guys and what they do. And, you know, it's not even about what they do as much as about the way that they do it as well. Yeah, it blesses my heart when I'm up here on a Sunday morning and leading worship. Beforehand, when we have practice and the worship team would know, you see Anne and she walks around and she just sings and she praises as she's setting up. And it is such a wonderful thing to do, to see the way that she serves us here. It's just brilliant. This is what stirs up love and good works more than anything we could say up from here. We, the church, are the hands and feet of God's love. We, the church, we are the hands and feet of God's love. And what an opportunity each one of us has, because God has got us in the situation we're in at this point in time, that we are the ones responsible for this point that we're at, to be the hands and feet of his love, to be the love. In the next part of the verse, we get a great reminder and encouragement of one way of doing this. So we've got, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So exhorting, meaning to strongly encourage or to urge someone to do something for one another. This is about coming together for church, coming together as a church. This is what I had modeled in action to me as a young boy growing up from my parents. And I know for myself personally, I would not have the relationship with God that I have now if it wasn't for this church. Being in youth ministry and leading the youth ministry with Nicole has just been such a great blessing to me. But it's also given me a little bit of insight into how it works for young kids and generally speaking, the way they come through youth and the way that their minds work. And we really see our kids come in when they're in year seven. Our youth come in year seven and they are passionate. They are excited. They just want to bring their friends along and have fun at youth. And it's all good. It's all great. It's nothing too serious, but they come and they have fun. And it's really, really awesome. But we find a point where they get to in year nine or year 10 where it changes and these youth go from jumping on the back of their parents' faith or jumping on the back of the school's faith or whatever's going on in their lives. And they need to make a decision for themselves and they need to own that decision themselves. They need to actually figure out their own faith where it goes from being someone else's to their own. And being in youth and being committed to youth so helps that decision that they make. It so helps it. They're coming along and they're having a relationship with people who are consistent and who are committed. And relationships then are formed and grown. And I see this so much in my own life when I was growing up and to the point where sometimes I would just come along to youth or I'd come along to church simply because my friends were there. And if I didn't have those friends there, if I didn't have that relationship with those friends there, then the chances were that I was going to find something better to do on a Friday night or a Sunday morning. That's why I'm banging on about this and banging on about relationships in church being so important. Because we need to have people that are there. We need to have friends. We need to have family if they're here as well, that we can come along to church and we can do life with in church and who have a good influence on us, even if it's just getting us along because we want to see them on a Sunday. So important. I hope you have some people here. I hope you have some friends here and that's why I did it at the start, to encourage us to meet someone that we don't know. And I encourage you, every person here as a church, to continually meet people in church that we don't know. To continually extend our hand and shake somebody's hand and ask them their name and remember their name for when they come back. And imagine the community that would grow. Imagine the people that would come into church and feel that love because we are being that love. We are being the hands and feet of God's love in this place, in this church. And I think that would just change. It would change us. It would change our community here and people would just come along and enjoy it and love it. Not saying that they don't now, but, I think back to that story just about, we go out for dinner and how much of a difference that makes, the service that is provided to us. And we are the service. We are the ones that provide that service and encourage people to come back and get involved as well. Involvement is another thing, and I don't have this written down, don't have time to go into today, but I'm so for getting involved in church life and serving in the church. And I would encourage everybody that there is some place that you could serve and you can use your gifts and your talents, and it doesn't have to be up here on a Sunday. It can be behind the scenes, it can be during the week, but getting involved in church and involved in the community that we have is such an important thing. So what does it look like to be the love? In closing, and maybe the worship team, if you guys can come up, I think it is so perfect if we just sing I Surrender after this. What does it look like to be the love? It all comes back to obedience, to allowing the Holy Spirit to prompt us and to guide us each day when it comes to our relationship with other people. And if we ask him to help us be the love, rest assured, if you ask him to, then he will help you. He will put you in a place where you need to be the love. We also need to make sure we're being obedient to the word of God. Even when it talks about coming to church, even when it talks about turning the other cheek, even when it talks about being unselfish and all the other things that seem to be contrary to our nature, about being obedient. But most of all, it's about looking at the way Jesus lived, looking at the way Jesus loved. And church, we're not just called to make a difference. We are called to be the difference in the way we speak, in the way we act, and in the way we show love. And Jesus was the ultimate example of this, the ultimate example, which eventually led to his dying on the cross for us, the ultimate act of love. So in this, all we're doing is taking Jesus' example and shining that light and shining that love into other people. Let's bow our heads and let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we just take this moment another time and just say thank you so much. Thank you so much for the love that you showed us. Thank you so much for setting the example, which ended up calling us to the life that we have now, calling us to know you, Lord. Jesus, for your death on the cross that enabled us to come back into relationship with God, we thank you so much for that. And Lord, I pray as we go today, we would remember this, and over the coming weeks, Lord God, we would look at our own lives and our own situations and find somewhere, Lord God, that we can be the love. So find someone who we can be the love to. Lord, even when those people are hard to love, Lord God, that we would make that commitment, that we would love them anyway, Lord. Church, let's stand before we leave this morning. We're going to sing I Surrender, and as we sing, let's just open our minds up to those people which God is going to put in our hearts, in our minds, that need our love, that we have the opportunity to show our love to show the love of God to, in whichever way that may be. Thank you, Father God. Continue to challenge us, I pray.